What is going on with the NFL draft today? That's a great question. Couldn't really tell you. Nothing has really surprised me that much, aside from the quarterbacks. But I think that we knew this going in, right? Like, we knew that things were going to be a little bit weird going in to this draft. We knew that the boards were going to be all over the place. We didn't know that the NFL would stick the middle finger up to Shedeur Sanders the way that they have. I didn't believe that the NFL would take somebody with an arm that is comparable to mine in round three of the NFL draft.
Yeah.
Even though I like the player way more than you like the player, and I will try to put a positive spin on this. It will be very difficult for me to put a positive spin on taking a baby-armed quarterback who is left-handed to play
day two
in Cleveland.
Day two. Like, that's a fine sixth round pick. That's a fine seventh round pick. Day two.
Yeah, but we're not going to, we will focus on the Browns. We're not just going to focus on the Browns. I promise, because the Bears picked like 75 times in this draft. And pick some guys that I liked, and we're going to talk about everything that we saw in round two. And again, Baltimore, doing Baltimore things and picking a bendy edge rusher to try to develop into a full time player. That'll be interesting. but I think that when you look at what happened. Obviously, first of all, you need to sit down, Corey, and say yes. Quinshon Judkins should not have gone before Travion Henderson, but still a pretty good player.
Yeah.
Carson Schweisinger.
I love this question of his. I love this question of your pick.
Third round, Harold Fannin Jr. at 67.
Love the value there.
Have been a huge fan of. And then Dylan Gabriel.
I feel so much better about taking Dylan Gabriel if you take him at 104. If you just tell me he's a day three pick instead of a day two pick, literally 10 picks later, I would have felt so much better.
Do but you?
The optics of being a day two pick versus a day three pick. I know it's just 10 picks, but the optics of it, I'm like, oh yeah, he's a day three pick. A day two pick.
For the Cleveland, okay, I understand what you're saying. But for the Cleveland Browns, think about this, okay? And let's ignore Shedeur Sanders for a moment. What they want is somebody who can run the offense, be on time, be accurate, and not screw things up. And Dylan Gabriel is incredibly. He's like 30. He's been playing in college football forever. Incredibly experienced. What you want from him is to be able to compete for the starting job as a low-level starter who won't get you killed around a roster that is built to win. He is nothing but a backup, career backup type because of his physical inabilities or his physical limitations. But if you can get solid, clean play from him on an offense that has receiving weapons, who added a pretty decent running back, I think that you can put your head around it as long as you like the player. Now,
but listen to the names again. Take him at 104. I don't think any of these teams are taking him. You could have had Jared Wilson, Xavier Watts, Caleb Rogers, Charles Grant, Ty Felton, all picked after Dylan Gabriel.
None of those guys are at the most important position in football.
I don't care. I don't care. Dylan Gabriel's drafted to be a backup. Like, there's no shot they're trying to develop this guy to be a starting quarterback.
There's no developing him. It's come in.
That's true. He's 25. Yeah. And it could be like, I think they know they're drafting a guy in the first round next year. So it could be they just want a cheap guy on a rookie contract that they can trust if you have to start.
Yeah. And I want to bring this up real quick. I want to take here. Hold on. Sorry. I got to take our names out of here so we can see the comments. You won't be able to assess receivers with the QB because you won't be able to push the ball. That, in my opinion, is a lie when it comes to Dylan Gabriel, because I think that he can push the ball downfield. The issue, because all quarterbacks can push the ball downfield, and I think some quarterbacks with lesser arms are actually quite good pushing the ball downfield along the sidelines and up the seams. The issue is being able to fit passes into tighter NFL windows, which you need to be able to do with anticipation. And for me, that comes with the ability to have rapport with your wide receivers and trust what you are seeing. And why I think he sucked at the Senior Bowl was because he was playing with guys that he doesn't know, and he has a noodle arm. When he was throwing to Ferguson and when he was throwing to our resident mouse out there, I think that he looked really good. But when things weren't familiar to him, he was very, very bad in those situations. So I think that there is a vision for him in Cleveland. It's not a very high vision. It's not, there's nothing to love about that pick. I agree. But they had to make a decision on quarterback, and that's the one that they went with.
Yeah, I do think they wanted Milroe, who went two picks earlier. But we should probably talk about somebody other than the Browns.
Milroe would have been a phenomenal.
I would love Milroe to develop.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
We got some fun picks here. Dalton, I want to start with Nick Evanwori landed with the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah,
perfect. Like I envisioned all along.
Yeah, it's perfect. Later. And at 35, I mean, at the top of the second round, that's exactly where
they traded up to get him too. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Love and it. And he's going to come in, and he's going to be an absolute psychopath freak. Awesome, mm-hmm. Right off of the bat. And I'm going to whip my out, and I'm going to run around, and I'm going to tweet about it, and I'm going to blue sky about it, and I'm going to put it on all the social medias that I was right and all you dummies were dumb, because I think he is that dude. Brian coming in, everybody is just here to see the rage and the sanity leave. The rage come and the sanity leave Corey's body.
I also want
to just quickly bring up Jaden Higgins to Houston. I like that fit.
Really?
Yeah. I like that fit.
It's kind of cool. They got both the Iowa State guys. They drafted both.
We already saw what that quarterback was able to do with a ball winner. And if Jaden Higgins is anything, it is being a ball winner. And so I'm talking about Marvin Harrison Jr. in college. So yeah. Like you have that ability with him. He's obviously nowhere near the prospect that he was, but
you already have Nico Collins.
Yeah, but Higgins doesn't have to be your number one. He's not going to be your number one.
Correct. But like,
Collins has juice. Like,
for sure.
They're both bigger bodied receivers, but they're different. And also, we have to understand that it took Nico Collins 5 years before he ever developed.
Two, but yeah, I get you.
Is that all it's been?
He was drafted in 2021. Yeah, he broke out in 2023 when CJ was drafted. CJ's rookie year.
I thought he broke out in 20. I guess his breakout was at the end.
He got paid in 24. Yeah. Paid before 24. All right. Another pick. I really like the fit here. Jonas Savai and I'm Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, and then Travion Henderson to the Patriots. Think about the Patriot way, and all of those backs that we've seen catch passes out of the backfield for the Patriots over the years. Josh McDaniels back there as the offensive coordinator. I think that is a phenomenal. It's not a fit that I had thought about, but I think that is a phenomenal fit. And I think Jonas Vaihinai, they love positional flexibility on the offensive line. They have drafted so many tackles to play guard in Miami over the years, and that just continues to come to fruition with Jonas Vaihinai here.
This one actually probably is a guard, though, as much as I wanted it to be a tackle. So, I mean,
yeah,
that's fine. Okay, Chicago Bears, man. Pass-catching unit of DJ Moore, Romo Dunes, Luther Burden III, and Colson Loveland.
Bringing Luther Burden in to play the slot role is, that. Yeah, that's and I love what they're doing, because they're saying, and we talked about this in previous podcasts when we talked about the Chicago Bears. Caleb, this is on you. We have thrown every asset that we have at offensive line and at weapons. If it don't work out, and we have Ben Johnson. If it don't work out, brother, there's a mirror that you got to look in.
Yeah.
That's just flat out.
Yeah. Tyler Shuck, top 40, baby. Tyler Shuck, top 40. Mason right. Taylor, 42 to the Jets. I do like that. They passed on Tyler Warren round one. Came back.
Get Mason Taylor. I like it.
Yeah. Alfred Collins and Mykael Williams, dude.
Nobody is ever going to run the ball in the San Francisco 49ers.
Dude. Love it. All right, where do you want to go? I've just been kind of scrolling through here. Where do you want to go?
I didn't think about this. Hold on. Wish I could guess the Ravens draft class so far, but that green off-field stuff is crazy, considering that they aren't getting off of the Tucker news. I didn't think about it that way. But yeah, that is interesting. However, what I will say is, like, culturally, the Baltimore Ravens have been very, very good when it comes to, like, avoiding bad PR and just culturally having a good environment. They didn't really run and hide from the Tucker thing either. So I am interested to see how they publicly handle the Mike Green's off the field stuff here.
I am too. Interesting as well, because in 2022, they were asked about, like, that's when the Deshaun Watson stuff happened with Cleveland, and Jim Harbaugh's like, yeah, I'm really proud that we have a zero tolerance policy.
Yeah. Well, listen, in sports and in life and everywhere, we know there's no such thing as a zero tolerance policy. If you have enough money, if you have enough talent, if you have enough value to an organization, you can get away with murder. Donovan is a rock woo to the Cowboys. Love that pick. I think right there at 44 is decent value for him. The first round talk was a little bit rich for me always. I've brought up multiple times, I think he's the most hilarious pass rusher that I've ever watched play. And so I'm very, very excited to see how that just shakes out, because I've comped it to him being on the sideline with his pals and just picking pass rush moves out of a hat for what he's going to do on that next drive. Like, hey, if we get into second and long, pull this out of the hat.
Ooh, I'm plus the ghost inside move,
spin. Yeah. Ooh, ghost move. Ooh, long arm. Like, he just picks the stuff out of a hat and sees if it sticks. It's a lot of fun, man.
It is. It is indeed. One of my least picks here.
Well, let's go to the next pick. JT to the Colts is such a Colts pick.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a Colts pick, man. Will Johnson to Arizona, brother. Perfect.
Yep.
Perfect.
I love it. I love what Arizona's doing as a whole, man.
I've loved what Arizona has been doing since Monty Azevedo came in. Like, I agree. He's built up assets. They put together an offensive line last year that was on paper very, very underwhelming, that performed really, really well together. Come on, quarterback. Let's see what you got.
I don't love Jordan Burch, but at 78, I can stomach Jordan Burch at 78.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. AJ with the.
Yeah, AJ.
I don't disagree. And then Salt coming in with the Revel stuff. I mean, we'll talk about that, but Corey was incredibly high on Revel, and having him go to the Cowboys in round three, I know that he's 24. I know that he's coming off an ACL. I know that I wasn't a very big fan of his, but in round three, that's Perfect. It's almost exactly where I wanted it to happen.
Still to have a running back, but they're having a pretty solid draft otherwise, I would say. And the Booker thing was fine, but
running back and wide receiver would have been nice too.
Yeah.
Ooh, we have a Twitch. We have a Twitch comment here. What's good?
Yeah.
Twitch. Love that.
Let's talk about I want to talk about Carolina, because trading up for Nick Scorton and then doubling down and taking Princely Umanmielen in round three as well. After we thought they were gonna go with Jalen Walker in round one. They went with Tet. And then they're like, okay, well, we'll just double down on edge on day two. Nick Scorton, I'm sorry, man, but if he's legitimately going to play at 267, which is where he weighed in at the combine, which I think is his natural weight and probably what he was playing at Purdue before he went to Texas A&M, and they were like, yeah, put on 20 pounds. That should go well. This might be one of the best picks of the draft. 51 overall, Nick Scorton.
Mm-hmm. I don't disagree. I mean, you know how much I love Nick Scorton.
With a zero ever. Yeah, just they're cooking. Yeah. Let's see here. What else?
Rebel was sixth overall on Tyler's board. Tyler, I think you're insane, but I love you. And that is okay. And I wanted to bring up that comment specifically because it really, really shows how all over the place people were with their big boards in this class. I mean, we had people that had Shamar. Stewart was top 10 for both of us, mm-hmm. and Shamar Stewart was the 90th 40th. Ranked player for some people.
Yeah.
So
I had honestly, a second round grade on Shador Sanders, who isn't drafted yet. So, yeah. You know, we'll.
At quarterback.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens here, man.
It's, mm-hmm. We also have this question from 1234. About the Bills. So let's just talk about the Bills real quick. If you told me that they came away with Maxwell Harrison, Landon Jackson, and TJ Sanders, I would be pretty over the moon. I think that's a fantastic trio. Telling me that Sanders went in round two and Jackson went in round three breaks my brain. I didn't love Sanders. I thought Sanders was the second best defensive tackle on his own team. I know that a lot of people really, really like him. I loved Tonka Hemingway. And when you talk about the NFL draft and the NFL and projecting forward in general, you have to be able to project forward. And in that projection, you have to look at the athletic limitations and ceilings. And I know that my guy Tonka tested really well. He doesn't look that good on tape when it comes to his athleticism, and he's 285 pounds, like, and maxed out and old. And so Sanders, from an NFL draft perspective, was the better prospect, even though I thought that Hemingway was the better player. Thank you for the follow, 1234.
Heck yeah. Appreciate you. Yeah, let's talk about this one, because this is something that I was blown up by. Where'd it go? No, that's not the one. I lost it.
Which one are you looking for?
I found it. There it is. This one. Thoughts on Anthony Belton, 54th overall.
That's a little bit out of... Brian, I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but he's way too big for the Packers normally, right? Like way too big? It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Where are they going to play him? They drafted Jordan Morgan a year ago. They like Rasheed Walker still under contract, and he started at left tackle for them all year. They have Sean Ryan at right guard.
He's not starting at right tackle.
Center now, he's not starting at right tackle. So what?
And he must be competing at left tackle,
unless they don't like Sean Ryan. That would be the only thing that I can think of as well. So. And Rasheed Wallace is a 7th round pick, but finding starting caliber left tackles isn't easy. So if you have one, you just don't whatever.
JP is saying the Texans tripling down on Iowa State receivers is hilarious.
It's a good bit.
It is a good bit.
Jalen Noel going that late though, late in round three is a pretty nice value pick. I love
Jalen Noel. Walker will be a free agent next summer. That is correct. Yes.
It's all right. Like, I understand that. But again, if you have a serviceable left tackle, like you just pay them because you have to, because it's so hard to find quality left tackle play.
Yeah,
an average left tackle play.
Yeah, but you leverage Belton against that. That's what you're doing. You're leveraging Belton against that. If Belton can come in and develop you, and then you don't have to pay him.
I mean, that's fair.
Yeah.
Overall, though,
and he can and as Brian says, he can compete with with Ryan at left guard. Tory Salt here, Dr. Salt here. Torrey Horton, the dream fifth round pick for the Cowboys. I love Torrey Horton. The forgotten man in this draft class because he barely played in 2024, but a really, really good football player. Is Belton a tackle, though? I mean, that's a great question, AJ. That's a great question that I cannot really answer for you. Announced as a tackle, though, yeah. Yep.
Do you want to go through some of the best available still?
We will. Let's just get through this like maybe a little bit quicker going through all these picks. Trey Harris to the
I love that fit.
To the Chargers. Yes.
I love it. Baby. I love it.
Yes, so do I. That is such, I mean, that's when you think of what he did at Ole Miss, working on the vertical plane, using his physicality, to me, like it's just Mike Williams again. And look at how much success Justin Herbert had with Mike Williams before Mike Williams left and I mean got injured all of the time and then left. Like, that was a very, very nice rapport that those two had, so I'm very excited for that one. Yeah
Let's talk about the Lions here, having the most Lions draft ever, going Tyleek Williams round one, Tate Ratledge round two. The most Lions
they draft saw the mullet they saw have. The mullet, and they were like, we gotta have him,
we have to.
Dan Campbell was like, must have him.
Yeah, that's a kneecap biter right there. That's a kneecap biter.
Also, I love that Trey Amos went exactly where Trey Amos should have went.
Should have gone.
Also, RJ Harvey, the Broncos drafting a return man in round two is pretty interesting.
Yeah, this is your take on him, yeah.
Yeah, that's my 100% take. I don't think he's a running back. Now, maybe he can catch the ball out of the backfield. Like, maybe that's what he can develop into. But I did not like what I saw from him as a down-to-down running back at all. Mike Green to Baltimore. We've talked about it. I think Jack Beck going to the Raiders is a good pick as well. I mean, a little high for me on Beck still. Like, I know a lot of people really loved him, but a little high. The Bears, again, Shamar Turner getting a guy who I thought was forgotten in this class. Yeah. Dalton is a Harvey hater for sure. For sure. Omar Norman Lott going to the Chiefs. I think that's a great fit for him to develop into. And then
they double down with Ashton Jelotti like two picks later.
Yeah. Oh, dude. I hate the Eagles. I hate the Eagles so much.
Makuba.
I hate the Eagles so much. They're just so good at this.
Great fit. And that's such a great system for him. Fangio's quarter system. Dude, that's it's fantastic. It's too good.
Your boy Booth asking about a quarterback. They seem pretty locked in that they are going to get Aaron Rodgers. Which it doesn't matter. Like, they should still draft a quarterback because Rodgers is over 40 and going and bad. But yeah. Captain of the Harvey High here. Sorry, JP. I can't get behind you on that. Unbelievable athlete, but can't do it.
Thoughts on Demetrius Knight here. What are your thoughts on Demetrius Knight? 49th overall to the Bengals.
50th. Yeah, great athlete. Older prospect. Quarterback convert. And I love linebacker quarterback converts. Love safety quarterback converts. Like, if you play quarterback and then you switch a position and you turn into an NFL caliber player, immediately I'm like, you're probably cognitively pretty darn good.
He's a big boy too. Yes, that's the Deion Henley thing. Deion Henley's had to grow into his frame. Demetrius Knight does not need to grow into his frame at all.
Very true.
That's a very dense man.
Yep. Yep. Darius Alexander, I think, is a phenomenal player. And getting on that defensive line, he's going to be able to do so much. With Dexter Lawrence and those edge rushers that they have put together there, that's going to be a dangerous front four. That is like... It's really unfortunate that they did all of this to just try to draft and develop Jackson Dart.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, though. I'm not convinced that those guys don't get fired and they just take a quarterback again next year. I'm really not.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely fair. Yeah.
Do you think? Here's a question. Do you think Darius Alexander would have gone first round if he was 22 years old?
Maybe.
Instead of 25?
I think playing at Toledo doesn't help either. But
yeah. I mean, Quinn Young went first. But
yeah.
Quinn Young went first playing at Toledo. But
yeah, that is true. That is true. Yeah. Gillette again another. I mean, it's
one of your guys.
Like there's watered down Karlaftis, but a little bit bendier, like a little even less explosive than Karlaftis is. Mm-hmm. But like very similar players in that they're both very technically sound as pass rushers. I think Gillette has bend at his size, which is pretty impressive. He's just not a very good athlete. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to hit on Fannin here a little bit. Yeah, I do want to talk.
Yeah. But can I get to this question real quick? I want to just hit the questions as fast as we can as they come up. Any options on the Steelers or opinions on the Steelers drafting Watt or Pickens? If you trade TJ Watt,
it's not gonna happen.
No,
the Pickens thing, they could trade Pickens. Here's the thing, though. They want a second-round pick. Somebody's going to have to turn around and pay George Pickens, and George Pickens could go on a month-long meltdown.
You don't want to pay George Pickens.
That's a day-three pick kind of trade, and I don't think the Steelers are going to trade him for a day-three pick.
Karlaftis, Chenal, and Gillette is the Spider-Man meme. kind of is, yeah.
Just get those guys in a weight room and see. Yeah.
Yeah, talk about Fannin.
So we kind of went on a bell curve with Harold Fannin, where we started out like, well, I guess the opposite of a bell curve, kind of a roller coaster, I guess. We started out really high on him. And then like digging into the tape a little bit, and was like, this guy's stiff. This guy's duck footed. He might have to be in a particular role to like really find success at the NFL level. But I think he found the particular role he needs to be in at the NFL level. And so when I look at Harold Fannin, 67th overall to the Browns here with David Njoku in an offense that's returning to heavy 12, 13 personnel, where he gets to be an FH tight end two. This is it. So I love the fit right here where they can just let him kind of move around, line up all over the place, and not have to have the pressure of being an inline tight end, because I don't think he's ever going to be that. But this is the fit for him.
Well, he was announced as a tight end, which I think is silly because he's going to make multiple Pro Bowls as a fullback. So. Call him an F, call him a tight end, call him whatever you want. He's going to play in the backfield a little bit. He's going to play off of the ball. I think it's a great fit. Tesla was, I think, the biggest surprise.
They traded up.
I think that was the biggest surprise.
Another Lion, though. Like, oh, yeah. When you see the team that did it, it's like, okay, the Lions did it.
Yeah. We already talked about Landon Jackson. Zaire Thomas to New York to play opposite of Sauce is...
Probably couldn't have asked for a better coach than Aaron Glenn
to put that guy under. That's a lot of fun.
Broncos taking Pat Bryant. Do they only want exclusively, like... Does he just hold up a picture of Marquise Colston next to every wide receiver and say, like, no, yes, no, yes. Devon Bele, Pat Bryant, Cortland Sutton, like these guys are all just massive freaking dudes. I thought this was like two rounds too early for Pat Bryant, though.
I thought it was pretty early.
Yeah. Especially when you got Devon Bele in round seven last year. Six, seven.
Ooh, like, was Tesla a bigger surprise than Nick Martin?
No, you're right. Which Nick Martin, sometimes teams just fall in love with production, and Nick Martin is the most productive linebacker, like one of the most productive linebackers in college football. And I know the Browns liked him late.
Oh my God, the Lions.
I thought he was going to go like round 5-6. He would round 3.
Did they really say that? I missed that.
Don't love that. Senior Bowl.
Listen, I mean, you're going to block if you're playing in Detroit because they love to run the football. Yeah. We already talked about
Revel.
The next two with Revel and Princely. We talked about Birch. We talked about Noel.
Caleb Johnson to the Steelers, dude.
Yeah.
That's
such a Steelers pick. Yeah. Steelers runner. Him going in round 3 is insane to me, but
I agree. I also love Jacob Parrish. Yeah, love the next pick too, Jacob Parrish to the Bucks. They doubled down on corner. They went Benjamin Morrison in round 2 and Jacob Parrish round 3.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't love Benjamin Morrison as much as you or other people, but I'm not going to argue with the value of 53, I think it was, and then to double down and get your nickel like that.
Yeah,
this is the best nickel in the draft, in my opinion. The best nickel.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this one. The Raiders, man. John Spytek murdering his first draft.
Yeah.
Absolutely killing it, dude. Ashton Jinsey, Jack Besh. I don't love Darian Porter. Round 3.
I'm in round 3.
Pretty stiff.
In round 3, I'm okay with it.
Additional players at 5th. Yeah, 68th overall. But then Caleb Rogers and Charles Grant, 98th and 99th overall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Backing up a little bit, because there is a 0% chance I am pushing past my guy, my big boy, Jamari Caldwell, going to the Chargers and playing for Jim Harbaugh. That I am excited about. I love me some Jamari Caldwell. I put 25%. Of the pass rush production of Derek Harmon directly on Jamari Caldwell and their ability to play off of one another.
And we love Derek Harmon.
But this dude, Jamari Caldwell, can play. And to watch a true nose get the value of the third round is lovely for me. Caleb Ransall.
Yeah, your dude, Caleb Ransall.
Caleb Ransall to the Jags. Now let's do that as well. Let's go over the Jags draft real quick, because this secondary needed help.
Yes.
Offensive line needed help. Go out, get Mylon. They got Ransall, Travis Hunter. To do that after the trade. That's a really nice haul. And yeah, Ransall playing safety, absolutely. That's where he should play. I think when I watched his tape, I mean, I have him graded as a safety. But that role that he played at Tulane, playing on the line of scrimmage a lot, like on the line of scrimmage as the end man online, crashing downhill, blowing up pulling guards. Like, this is a 190-pound dude who is not afraid to muck it up. And he playing forward a lot. Even though he played in the slot, it was a lot of flat coverage. But he was also able to dive back and play play quarters, and late rotations as well. I didn't see the athleticism on tape that he showed at the NFL Combine. It's a little bit Matthew Golden-ish to me. But I was a big fan of the player before the NFL Combine. The Combine didn't really do anything for me, because I just thought, like, the player on tape is the player on tape. But I think he's a really good player. Yeah. I think he's a really good player.
I love it.
Browns
running backs. So I think they could double up at running back here real fast on this.
Yeah.
Not with a DJ Giddens or Damian Martinez after taking Quinshon. If they would have taken, like, Travion Henderson, I would have said yes to one of these two guys. But Quinshon being a pretty gap power dominant back, and probably, like, he has the body type to be a little bit bell cowish, I think they'll probably double up with, if they do double up with a back who's more of a pass catcher out of the backfield kind of guy, like a Cam Scadaboo, Jaden Blue, something like that, but not a meat and potatoes back like DJ Giddens or Damian.
There are so many good backs remaining. Scadaboo, like even guys that I don't love, like There's Scatabu, there's Samson, there's Neil. Giddens is still around. James is still around. I didn't like Martinez, but I know people love Martinez. I love Tutton. Etienne's still around. Brashard Smith, Woody Marks, those, and Jadon Blue. Those are three guys who you can use in very specific niche roles. LaQuint Allen, more of a niche role guy, in my opinion, but like Mnunga is still around. Kroski Merritt is still around. Sanders is still around. Corey Kiner, like there's still a ton of talent at running back around.
Mm-hmm. Going to be a lot of really fun PFAs landing in places in that running back.
Class. Yes. Any other picks in Emory Jones to Baltimore?
He's going to be a Pro Bowl card.
I think in our very first mock draft
as a first
the year, I think we had Emory Jones as the first round pick to the Baltimore Ravens.
We might have. Yeah, he's falling a little bit, but he's going to go there. He's going to play guard, and he's going to become a freaking Pro Bowler. Like,
yeah, Milroe to Seattle. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Love it.
He gets to develop behind a starter for a little while.
Skip over 94 because you've talked way too much about that. Upton Stout, top 100, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Upton Stout, top 100. That's my dog.
I'd also like to shout out Jalen Smith, top 100.
You are a Jalen Smith guy.
I am.
Yeah.
Can someone explain this video to me? How do people assess so wildly? I don't know what video you're talking about. Are you talking about our video? And in reference to what? Yes, you do remember Corey saying Emory over Campbell at some point. We both did.
So
that's the point of summer scouting.
When we're talking about summer scouting, we're going tools. If they don't develop, they don't develop. And we very quickly say, like, okay, well, this is.
Yes.
Emory Jones traits and tools, excellent.
Ty Felton is wide receiver 3 in Minnesota is disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. That team is competent quarterback play away from being the Super Bowl attendee.
Jalen Naylor has been pretty good for them in his niche role too. Like, that's a good player.
Best availables?
Well, we've talked a lot about Sanders. Marcus Bowe, still on the board here. That one's pretty surprising to me.
Yeah.
How versatile he is, how physical he is.
Undersized.
You know, I had heard undersized a little bit, had heard from some teams that his personality came off a little bit dickish. Just like, so I think that's maybe part of it too. But like some teams going to get a utility swing player that could play anywhere on your offensive line with Marcus Bowe on day 3 at this point.
Any other like surprising names to you?
I thought Braden Swinson had enough juice as a DPR to come off the board day 2.
Yeah, I would say. I mean, obviously Shedeur Sanders, but Swinson for me, it's like Swinson, Iuminor, Royals. I think at the top 3 for me, Kyle Kennard not being off the board. I like when I watch his tape, I think he's like that perfect late round 2, early round 3 guy. Mm-hmm. I'm just a little bit surprised that he has not gone yet.
CJ West, another one for how good he is. I thought he had a chance.
I understand.
Had a great combine. I really, and it's like, he's a great kid. Like, so I thought there was a chance that he might sneak into the top 100, but I don't think he's going to get out of the top 125. Your boy, Torrey Horton. I thought Torrey Horton had a chance to sneak in here too, to day 2.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's a day 2 player if he doesn't get hurt this year.
That's fair.
But
I think that, I mean, the big surprises are Sanders and Bowe, to be honest. Everybody else, like maybe Io Manor a little bit here, but
I didn't
love Io Manor's tape.
Yeah, I know you didn't. Did Restrepo's bad 40? No, I think he was a day 3 guy from the start for the NFL.
He's not fast on tape. Like, that's the thing. He's not fast on tape. But what I still love Xavier Restrepo, and I think so he's gonna produce at the NFL level in some respect because he is so strong through contact despite his size, and he is so dependable over the toughest level of the field, over the middle of the field. So I think like some team's gonna fall in love with him and take him. But like I kind of always thought like day 3, just because he's not fast and he's very, very much a slot only player.
toaster expert. Surprised that David Walker fell out of day two. I'm not necessarily surprised, but I would be surprised if he doesn't go pretty early on day three.
I would be surprised too.
I would be surprised if he doesn't go pretty early.
Jalen Royals is a surprise to me.
Yeah, I brought him up earlier when I was talking about the wide receivers in that kind of group. Dorian Strong is somebody who I know, like, probably seen as a day three guy by a lot of people, but one of my favorite players in this class. I really love him. Mm-hmm. I know this running back class is talented, but Tutton and Samson, I didn't love Samson's tape. Samson. Neither of us did. Tutton doesn't surprise me that he fell, even though I think he's really, really good. The problem with Tutton are the fumbles and the constant banged up knees. And I wonder if his medicals brought something up with those knees. Even though he tested well, it's a little bit like Spears in Tennessee, where, like, how much of a runway does he have left in those legs? Because we had kind of those same questions, because Spears, like, didn't have either ACL at that point. He still has juice. Thoughts on Jalen Royals? And I
like his tape. I was just so uninspired by, like, I thought he should have gone to the Senior Bowl and dominated the competition, and I felt like he, like, didn't win one-on-ones. I didn't feel like he was particularly precise or sharp in his release packages or in his routes. And so, like, I went, like, anticipating the Senior Bowl for him to be a riser and be like, oh yeah, this is where Jalen Rose is really going to have a chance to shine. And it's like, he's just a guy here.
For me, it's the perfect combination of being in a horrific offense to show off a wide receiver skill set and an uninspiring Senior Bowl. Because I do really like his skill set from what you do see on tape. But yeah, I mean, I think that he can be a productive, like, productive X wide receiver, but he will never be a number one or a number two option, in my opinion. I think he's, like, a solidly a number three guy. Tyler, any surprise that Etienne is still on the board? I'm not surprised just because he doesn't play all that much, but we both loved his tape when we watched him. Loved his tape. So,
yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, the injury history probably playing a little bit into there as well.
Dylan asked if there's any kicking specialist.
Absolutely not. Maybe Alex Katzen is. I don't know if he's in here, but go talk to Alex Katzen. He'll give you some rundown on some specialists. Yeah, man. Deion Walker. Let's talk a little bit about that fall from grace a little bit. We've been on, like, Deion Walker's hardly draftable for a little while now, but this is a guy that was getting mocked top 15 preseason. Top 10 in some cases. Heading into day three. And honestly, if I were a GM, I don't think I would even have him on my board, because I don't know what to do with a defensive tackle who can't leverage and has no ass. Like, and there's effort issue, like, effort questions.
Like, physically, like, and we don't say he has no ass. Like, physically, you'll hear this from scouts and coaches and people. Look at their actual ass, guys. It's not,
it's a real thing.
I was trying to figure out how to say it without it, like, sounding derogatory. But, like, it means something. That's where your power comes from. That's where it all starts.
And then not to mention he's 6'7" and has no flexibility to his game whatsoever. So he has no natural leverage. If you
Not even natural leverage, because I don't even care about natural leverage if you're able to play with low pad level.
He's got no knee bend.
But there's no knee bend. He stands straight up, and half of the time, he's not even in the rep. He's on the field, but he's not actually playing that rep. Yes, but, like, barely.
There's a reason.
I thought after the playoffs, he was for sure going in round two.
Yeah, there's a reason he didn't run a 40-yard dash, though. Even if you watch that fumble return, that strip sack fumble return against Texas in the semis, that dude is moving it like Volkswagen Beetle speed down the field.
Didn't matter, beat Cam.
Yep, he did beat Cam, who's also still on the board after having, what, a really strong first 6-7 weeks of the season?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's disappointing. But yeah, no, Jack Sawyer just doesn't have athletic traits and is pretty stiff. Pretty stiff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Best A3 offensive linemen available.
Marcus Bowe. We got to start there. Cam Williams. I think Cam Williams can get drafted pretty early tomorrow, but I think you still got to stash that guy.
Yeah. Miles, I loved Frazier at the Senior Bowl. Mm-hmm. Loved Frazier at the Senior Bowl. Lunt. Mm-hmm. Travis. Yeah. Jalen Travis and Chase Lunt.
Travis and Chase. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are good ones.
Johnny Cornelius for me, Cornelius is a guy who is that, like, not a great athlete. It probably won't play tackle at the next level, but could be a serviceable guard as a rotational guy. That's kind of how I feel about him.
Yeah, a couple of West Coast centers. I like Jonah Monheim for what he is at center. I hated his left tackle tape. His center tape grew on me, and he had a really strong Senior Bowl. But Joshua Gray from Oregon State. Mm-hmm. I think that dude's going to get drafted in the 5th or 6th round, and he's going to go on and play for a freaking decade. I love Joshua Gray. And he started at left tackle. He started at guard this past season. I think he's a natural center, and he's probably going to play center at the NFL. So, wherever Joshua Gray lands, I'm going to be watching pretty closely, but I think that guy's going to play for a very long time.
Yeah, that's about it for the what wide receiver would you like to see the Titans draft for Ward? Who fits the best?
Xavier Restrepo.
Bond? Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to think. No. They didn't take one. They probably should have. If you're talking about a guy who has the ability to develop into an actual guy, it's probably Io Manor. But, like,
yeah.
Torrey Horton, maybe?
Yeah, somebody dependable. Not
a lot of
guy who has a charge on him now.
Well, he might not get drafted.
He won't get drafted.
He shouldn't get drafted.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the rapport he has with Restrepo is insane. Thoughts on Seth McLaughlin. Good player.
Doing fine. Yeah. That's a pretty gruesome injury.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I think that's good.
Stuff out there. Yeah. We knocked it out. We got one more day to go. We won't go live tomorrow after day three. I don't think there's any reason to go live after day three, but we'll do a wrap-up episode on Monday, release it on Tuesday. But for now, yeah, we did some good stuff. Did some damage in here. Dolt, do you have anything to add for the people before we close this thing down?
Now, you know me. I love you. Check out my YouTube. It's not football content. It's fitness and bodybuilding content, but, run through that, get the algorithm going on it. I gotta plug my stuff, man. I gotta plug my stuff. It is what it is.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, that's it.
Oh, I actually do have something else to add.
Okay.
I actually do have something else to add if you guys are still here. If you guys are a part of my Patreon, okay? If you are a part of my Patreon, tell your friends to get into my Patreon now. Because I will be raising the price. I need to get more storage. I need to pay more. So y'all need to pay more. Everybody who is already a member of the Patreon to get the All 22 for college football has it. Good to go. They're still going to be $5. But everybody new is going to be $10. So if you had friends who had memberships and do not anymore, tell them to get back on it. Also, there are people who have canceled their memberships and still have access because I have not had time to go through and delete access. I will be deleting all of that access and making you guys pay again. So tell all of your friends to join back up for $5 a month. Let that crap run all year. I will have more stuff. I will be doing individual player cut-ups as well. Those will be in a different tier. That will be more expensive. That is a ton of time to take out of my day. to cut up individual players, but tell your friends, join the Patreon. $5 a month, Sam. $5 a month.
This is a good time to announce. I mean, I've already said it a million times that I've sent emails out to subscribers, but I'm also going to a paid model on Sunday night on my Substack on Daft on Draft. Again, the podcast will remain free. I'm going to do a biweekly newsletter, just trying to aggregate as much draft news as I can to keep, you know, at least people in the loop who don't want to pay. But any sort of premium content like film rooms, heavy analysis, video content, I'm going to, I got to start charging for that. And speaking of that, I am dropping a piece on my summer QB1 on Monday. I've already charted 10 guys. I know who it is. And I've seen a lot of like preseason watch lists, and he's hardly on anybody's watch lists. So I'm very excited to drop that on Monday, and I'm very excited for you to read it. So just wanted to throw that little teaser out there as well. But that's about it.
And as always, I love you guys.
All right. We will be seeing you later.